Potosh begins now. The Virginia McCaskey story, very popular with the folks in the YouTube comments, I'm noticing. Virginia McCaskey did have a good line when she handed Maddie back to us. She said, well, she's got to be a Bears fan now. To which I wanted to say, yeah, well, she's got a sports writer for a dad, so she's probably not going to be a fan of anything.
Well, I'm not a fan. I don't know if you know Virginia.
I would have not done that to Virginia, but it is one of my favorite stories. And speaking of not being a fan, Jesse's got an interesting idea that I want to get to coming up next about optimism about teams right now in Wisconsin sports. So we'll get to that coming up. But I want to delve into, John, this wide receiver first-round pick thing. And I always hated it because, you know, announcers loved to bring up during the Rodgers era, he's never had a first-round wide receiver. Yeah, but he had a hell of a lot of really good second-round wide receivers, and it didn't seem to ruin Rodgers' career that he didn't have a first-round pick to throw to.
Managed to overcome.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, exactly. And so I'm curious, is this something that, you know, it's not like Pete Rose or Joe DiMaggio or Paul Molitor's hitting streaks, but like it's bound to end sooner or later. There's the kid out of Arizona whose name I try very hard not to butcher, and you, having done SportsCenter, you can help me with my pronunciations. Tataroa McMillan, who is the wide receiver from Arizona. And again, this may be nothing because Goody goes to a lot of pro days. He was at Texas's pro day yesterday. But he was the only GM at the Arizona pro day, according to reports. Does that mean something? Does it mean nothing? Who knows? But there aren't a whole lot of wide receivers in this class. This is a lesser wide receiver class than past drafts. What would it say if Goody, after all these years, went wide receiver in the first round, especially knowing the other needs this team has on the defensive line and at corner, et cetera? What would it tell you, John?
Said he was saving it for the home crowd, and he didn't want to spend it in Kansas City or Detroit. Like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it for a home game.
Yeah, right?
Like the place would explode, wouldn't it? Like the roof would come off the dump, even though it's already going to come off the place. I don't know that they still, for all their success, draft deep. And I don't know if that guy is, you know, they go through, right? And all our draft experts, which, by the way, I think for the most part are pretty good at identifying just here are the measurables that make a guy, you know, first round worthy. And they never have 32 guys. They have like 15, maybe 12. you think about guys that draft, you can pick the last guy, you're 32nd. Back in Lombardi's time, back before big expansion, like that's a third round pick guy, right? So we kind of, we make this expectation that, oh, you're a first round guy. Well, yeah, but I don't know that by the time I get into the back half of the 20s, 24 and back, to me, those are kind of second round guys that just because of the nature of number of franchises now become first round picks, and they come with first round expectations. So I don't know that deep you can find the guy that you're looking for, because somebody else is going to be a reach, and you just don't want to be the person, you don't want to be the team that reaches in the draft. And if that case is, I still think that I would always, even if I'm 20, even if I'm going to draft a wide receiver, then I have to be convinced on my draft board there's not a cornerback I like better, an edge rusher I like better, or an offensive lineman. Because if there is, I'm taking those three people every time. And the guy, then I'm going to kick the wide receiver position. I'm going to kick that can down the road again. Because if there's anybody on my board that is in one of those three, they're more important. And my quarterback's good, and he's going to make a difference with I'm going to trust that guy's making the guys on the outside better. I don't know that we've seen that yet from Love. I think maybe that's the biggest thing is in that development is he didn't develop, and because of that, they couldn't develop. You know, I think there's not a chicken and egg. I think there's clearly the chicken, you know. And so I think that was part of it. And until he can be, you know, a full-on NFL quarterback and we're going to complete 65% of your passes because that's the job anymore. 52 doesn't get it done, Fran Tarkington, because, you know, your wide receivers aren't getting mauled on the outside. Until he gets better, I don't know that those other guys – we see the development we want from them. It would be against type Goody. It'd be, you know, unless you get one of these guys that's spectacular, right? You talk about Walker. He had, I think, he had one great year. His second year was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Second year was pretty good, but not, you know, and then beyond that, the other two guys they drafted in front of him were Hall of Famers. But, you know, look where they were to pick Sharp and Lofton, sixth and seventh.
Right.
It's what was it? Mike Tomlin. They had a great shot of him one time in just one of these NFL films when the big Ohio State defensive lineman was playing for Washington. Chase
Young.
He's bounced around. Chase Young.
And
they catch Tomlin talking to him after the game. He goes, I hope we never are bad enough to be in position to draft a guy like you.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the Packers are. Like, I hope they're never in a bad enough position where they can draft Justin Jefferson up top. I'm willing to kind of work around that. Maybe somebody comes through. I think T. Higgins not coming available in free agency might have messed up their plans a little bit. None of those guys we all talked about would have been great, ever made it to the market. But if you can't get a shot at a top 10 guy – in a top 10 pick, I don't know that I want to reach. I'll still take those other positions ahead of them. So in that regard, I'm just not frustrated by Goody not doing that. I'm okay with that. Or by the way, or the guy in front of him, or the guy in front of him. You know.
So you may. I want to get back to this, but I do want to point this out because Mel Kiper is the official draft expert of Wilde and Tausch, because he had the usual co-host of this show pegged as a sixth round pick, and then Tausch claimed that he wasn't even in Mel's book, and it led to one of the epic voicemails ever left in the history of the show.
Really?
We've got to play that at some point, but Mel Kiper has McMillan going 20th in his latest mock draft to the Denver Broncos. And at number 23, the Green Bay Packers select out of Ohio State wide receiver Emeka Igbuka.
Igbuka, yeah. He's
who I would say that it would appear that wide receivers from Ohio State seem to fare fairly well in the National Football League at this point. Also, LSU wide receivers seem to do pretty well. So if that happens, it will make things interesting. I want to get back to a point you made before we move forward. And that was about Jordan Love and not taking the step that maybe many of us expected and how that influenced how big of a step or lack thereof the wide receivers took. Tausch and I have acknowledged this, and I was a little more skeptical, but even I came around during the second half of 2023. We crowned him prematurely. He got the contract. He played through injury last year. That was certainly a factor in his performance. But if anybody listens to the show, they've heard us talk about this repeatedly. We still believe Jordan Love is a good quarterback with the makings of being a very, very good quarterback. But this is a pivotal year for him. Year three as a starter. Aaron Rodgers went to a Super Bowl and won it in year three as a starter. How do you view where Love is at currently, and how do you view this season for him in his development and how you'll view him as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think that's the entirety of it. Like, he has to make another step where you're like, okay, here's our guy who is a very good he is a good quarterback. Is he the difference maker that we thought? And I wasn't hugely disappointed in the contract. That is sort of the pay rate anymore for that position, right? So we can go all and go, oh, my God, he's making gobs of gobs. Right, but that's just sort of what the position now commands. And in this case, he has unbelievable leverage, so you can tack on an extra $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, So I'm not, and the worst part is anytime a guy like, okay, now I got to play like $50 million instead of just play like a really good NFL quarterback. I don't care how much you make. You know, the football, the ball you're throwing does not know how much you're making. It just is a football, right?
It's true. I would say
that. Golf balls have no idea that Tiger Woods hitting them or I'm hitting them until after they've actually been hit.
Until the sand wedge breaks. Yeah.
Then it comes into clear relief exactly who might have been in control of that whole thing. But he has to be better, or the Packers now really do have a dilemma. They're like, okay, what are we doing? You know, do we give him another year? What is the – now all of a sudden you're looking at the out costs, right? You're
right.
Looking at what – if that doesn't happen. But then some of that has to be on LaFleur and that group. At some point then, this is on you and your coaching and your development. Because you've told us you believe – you said it early on, right? You watched in the first year or two, and you're like, okay, I don't know that this is the answer, right?
Yes.
I think you said that or you
many
say that
times.
Before.
And by the way, I wasn't the only one.
Right. So now they've brought him to a point, I guess. Clearly, they've coached him to a point. Can you coach the rest of? And I think some of it is not coaching him up; it's coaching some things out of him. If that makes sense, right? Let's coach some of the bad decisions out of you. Let's coach kind of holding the ball a bit too long out of you. How about it's the old John Gruden? Let's take a profit when it's there on some of these things, mm-hmm. which maybe open up other stuff. So I think some of the things they need to do is coach a few things out of him that still seem to be young quarterback-ish kind of things. I think that's key. And then there are times I think he should I don't know that he just didn't look like he played terribly free or with this great abandon that you saw with some other things, you know? And that's one of the, like anybody, when you start thinking over all of this stuff, instead of just kind of letting it go, that makes a huge difference, right? The difference between being kind of free or being mechanical, and you can see the guy thinking through all the stuff when it goes through. But, and then some things are simple. There are things that are correct. Like sometimes his footwork's terrible. Quit throwing it off your back foot and just floating it up there. I get that you've got a great arm, but you know, go ahead and plant your feet once in a while. That helps the ball go in the direction you need it to go. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things that I watch and I think, okay, most of those are pretty correctable with a good amount of coaching. But at some point you got to show that you have this. And maybe that's where we've not fooled ourselves, but that's where watching Aaron for many years, watching Brett Favre for many years, watching all those guys, it's so much of the just instinctual, innate stuff that they had that you're like, okay, well, for all the coaching in the world, you can't coach that. And I haven't seen a ton of those plays from him yet where I just want to go, okay, that's where the guy is just, he's a superior athlete or he just gets the position. And that came because he just, you know, he knew instinctually what to do. And so some combination of what they need to improve, what they need to get out of his game, and then some of that is just play so I can see if you have some natural, some instincts for the position that I think everybody that coached him back in college and stuff thought he had, right? They kept putting him in the scout team, and he kept beating the starters. And they went, okay, this guy's got some of that it mm-hmm. for whatever it is. I need to see some of the it with him. But it's a huge year. It's a huge year because otherwise, like I said, now you're thinking, okay, do we have the right decision? If we're thinking about where do we get out of it? Now that drafts, now it changes all of your draft looking ahead. There's just so much is tied to this guy. So you say all that and you're like, now just go out there and don't feel any of that. Just play.
Right. Right.
Right.
And I give him plenty of benefit of the doubt. I don't think that he will have a bad year and they will be thinking that way. I am the question for me is not whether he'll make a jump. It will be mm-hmm. how big of a jump is it going to be? And will it be big enough where you start thinking, okay, this guy is one of the top five, top 10 quarterbacks in the league. I know what the QBR says. I know all those other things. If he stays healthy, I am very intrigued to see what this season is going to look like for him. All right. I do want to play Mel Kiper for you. We'll get to Jesse's optimism question a little bit later in the show. But I do want to play that because I think John Anderson will enjoy it. Quite frankly, you know, I think back to those This Is Sports Center commercials. It's got that kind of a vibe to it.
It never gets old listening to it. Never.
So we will play that for John coming up. Want to remind you, opening day is almost here. It's time to get those tailgate grills out and grab your groceries. Opening day in Milwaukee is almost here. It's next Monday. The unofficial start to summer happens with the Brewers home opener, and ESPN Wisconsin will be all over it. Sponsored by Carbless, ready-to-drink cocktails, live shows from inside the ballpark, special guests all day, and an unmatched excitement for the crew as ESPN Wisconsin will carry every pitch of the home opener. Opening day on ESPN Wisconsin, sponsored by Carbless. Grab a pack today and be the MVP of your tailgate. Happy baseball season, Milwaukee and Madison, and everyone else will be tuned in on Monday. More with John Anderson. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Scheduled to appear next, and it's going to confuse him when we get to him quasi on time. So let's waste a little bit of time before we do that by playing for you the epic voicemail left by Mel Kiper after Tausch alleged that he was left out of Mel Kiper's annual draft preview book, which, by the way, Jen Latta of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy then outbid me on eBay for a collection of Mel books, including the 2000 draft preview, in which Tausch was indeed listed and projected as a sixth-round pick. Mel Kiper picked him higher than the Packers did. They got him in the seventh round, and they got a Packers Hall of Famer for a bargain price in the draft. But here is how Mel Kiper handled the erroneous information that Tausch had shared about his scouting report on him.
Yeah, this is for Mark Tausch, or Tausch, as they say, who has been talking about Mel Kiper never had me in the book. He forgot about me, didn't know who I was, didn't give me anything, gave me no love. Mark, I wrote you up, I scouted you, I gave you a sixth-round grade. Now you're destroying my credibility with all these negative comments and make people think I had no clue who you were, that you even played college football, that I was completely out to lunch. This negativity's got to stop. I gave you a write-up. You were ranked. You were rated as a sixth-round pick. Last time I checked, you went in the seventh round, so I kind of overrated you with the sixth-round grade, but I did write you up in the book in 2000, so stop, please, with the negativity. You are trying to destroy my career of 46 years, and I don't appreciate it.
You are trying to destroy my career of 46 years, I think is my favorite
part. Hard to believe
part of
a sixth-round guy could take you down after 46 years.
That's the power of Tausch.
Negativity's got to stop.
Todd. So you obviously worked with Mel at ESPN for a long time. We so thoroughly enjoy his annual visits. His inaccurate portrayal of Tausch as a sixth-round pick notwithstanding, is it crazy to you to see the draft industrial complex that currently exists? Because he and Joel Buxbaum were the trailblazers. Bushbaum. Yeah.
Yeah. In St. Louis. And we used to listen to Joel Buxbaum in college because he was on St. Louis radio at night. And people, it became sort of whatever parlor game that they call and see if they could figure out somebody he didn't know. Right. So you're like, there is a punter at UW River Falls, and this guy has got and he would just go through and he would recite everything about the guy, how many touchbacks he had, mm-hmm. average return yards he had. And so he was amazing. So he was really kind of the first guy, and Mel will even say that was the guy that sparked it. But it is amazing to me, the literally, because at first I used to always say it's amazing the cottage industry that developed from that. And like you said, now it is beyond a cottage industry. It is this, it is an industrial complex. It is a campus full of stuff and people, and how even after they've been, look at Todd Mockshay, who was you know, with us for a while, and then as soon as he left, for whatever reason, when we were thinning the herd or culling the chickens, like he's still got cachet. People bring him in. Heck, who's the guy at the NFL Network? They ended up parlaying that into a job with Gruden's right hand man with the Raiders.
Mike Mayock. Yep.
Mike Mayock. You know, so these guys know stuff, but it's just like the draft itself. How when, you know, they said to Pete Rozelle, hey, we'd like to show you reading the cards at the podium. And he thought that was, you know, just the dumbest thing ever.
Yep.
When Chet Simmons said that to him. And now look at it. And so much like Mel, the draft itself, both those things have kind of grown up in each other. And imagine what your show would be for 3 hours if you didn't have the draft speculation. I remember when every once in a while, like at OWBAY would maybe break in. In the Packers, I think the first one I remember them breaking in was when they drafted Ron Hallstrom. And then, you know, after that, you kind of bottom line, they run a crawl about who the Packers had picked, you know, and to see where it is now is the whole thing, whether it's just Mel or the draft itself, that has become this amazing thing. And it's still just dudes reading names off cards. It's all it is. It's still dudes
right.
naming, right, you know, but at this day and age and this kind of money, even though they do, like, you can't afford to screw those things up, which is, you know, I mean, how many guys, if you get drafted, you make the roster, you're going to be really bad not to make the roster because of the way the cap works and everything else anymore. So it's it is amazing. My favorite thing about Mel in all of this is when he'll go, he's kind of approximates things. Like, if you would say, how much do you weigh, Anderson? You'd be like, oh, well, I'm 6'3", you know, 210. And Mel is always, his approximations are, he's right around 6'2¾". He's right around 6'2⅞". And he's right around 212. Mel, no one is right around 212. You can be right around 210 or 215. But he'll always, right? Have you ever listened to him? He's always, he's right around. And then he gives you this fraction. I'm like, no one is right around 6'2⅞". But that's always my favorite thing, is when his approximations are just down to the eighth of an inch, or down to the, yeah, he goes 212, 213, just depends on what he ate for breakfast. But that's his approximation of guys.
Yeah, he is one of one. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of people who are one of one, you deal with them every Tuesday. I deal with them Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, but they only add up to 3/4 of a homer hour. So I don't get him for a full hour like you do on Tuesdays, or Bulaga gets him on Mondays and Thursdays. So Steve the Homer True joins us next after Tausch tells us about UW Credit Union. Stick around with John Anderson as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
UW Credit Union member Mark Tauscher here. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they'll help you reach your financial goals. And if you're like me, you've always got cheddar on the mind. UW Credit Union can help with no monthly fee checking and great rates that let you keep more of your cheese. And when you're at that stage of life where you're ready to purchase a new home, UW Credit Union is your location, location, location for home loans. With UW Credit Union's local experts, a great loan at a great rate is never far from home. Join today at uwcu.org. That's uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Whatever you do, make sure you do it right. He is the GOAT. Whatever you do, of Wisconsin Sports Talk Radio. The wheels are in motion to get him into the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Whether or not I'm willing to get other people in there to make his ground rules covered, I'm not sure yet. You hear him every weekday, including with John Anderson on Tuesdays on the Homer Hour on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Beaver Dam. You hear him on the call of Marquette men's basketball games for 35 years, although unfortunately not for a Sweet 16 game this week. And of course, you can always catch him on God Talk, My Faith, with Homer and Pip on YouTube. It is Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. Say hi to the professor, Mr. 7'2.5.
Yeah, or he likes to go by 220, but he doesn't know. He's not in Europe. There's some things you just can't change with salt and sugar. That's my new name for him.
Salt and sugar?
Yes, the greatness of John Anderson is people see him as a very, I think, positive person at the Sports Center, and there's a lot of sugar. But if you don't know the salt of John Anderson, you don't know him. That's the standard right there.
John Anderson, your rebuttal.
He just thinks on occasion I'm mean as a cuss, which is probably true.
Yes, I am. That's part of you. Your distaste for Kansas is legendary for the human race. Harmless,
it's not.
But legendary.
Whoa, wait. Disdain for the University of Kansas, where our friend Lance Leipold is the head football coach. Explain to me what Homer's talking about here, because I may have to revise my opinion now as a result.
I'm going to show you real quick. Where's my thing for Lance? Like Lance and myself, he's only known as this, because I won't type the word.
Former UW Whitewater football coach. That's actually pretty good.
We did our podcast with him one time, and I didn't. We got done, and the co-host Trevor said, "Like, did you even say the word?" I'm like, "No, I went through the whole." I'd say, you know, you coached at Whitewater, you coached at Buffalo, now you're at a Big 12 school. Like, I just refuse to say the word. I am no different than anybody else that knows what the rivalry is about. I don't know if you knew this in your copy. You never capitalized that word because it's neither a proper name nor a proper place. My daughter, when she was like in second or third grade, took a geography test and took a dive, got 98 on it, knew she'd still get an A, and didn't fill in the word, didn't fill in
what?
The state. So, yeah, so it is, it is not a
Come
place
on,
that I
tell them how far you drove. Tell them how far you drove to pee in the state of Kansas. Come on.
Yeah. I was in Tulsa, and a buddy and I, we went, and we were just out, another Mizzou grad, God bless Doug Owen, and we went to the bathroom, and there was a line of like six people to get in, and so we just got in the car, we drove from Tulsa across the border, peed in Kansas, then went back to the bar. it's not healthy, it's not right, but it's not unusual for people on both sides of this, okay? The folks on the other side of the state line have an equal disdain for us, and I respect that in them. And that's fine, but it's a horrible place.
Any
true son would not have it. Anybody that would be on the right side of that. And the hard part of it, being on the Missouri side, is that in the war amongst the states, the state of Missouri was on the wrong side of that thing. They fit for the South. And I am not proud of that part of it, but that's where it dates back to. People that they don't care for each other from way back when, and that's where both the school nicknames come from. They're rooted in the Civil War, and as a Wisconsin guy who came down and had no idea about the rivalry, we sat in our first Big Eight meeting, team meeting before my first Big Eight meet, and I can still see my coach, who is Missouri through and through. He's 101 years old. He's the nicest, kindest gentleman in the world, and he never once ever cursed. and he was telling us that the coaches had predicted us to be seventh in the poll, the coaches meeting, and he said that he knew we were better than that and blah, blah, blah. And then he finally said, but men, if we're seventh, and he got red, and he finally just said, man, I would rather spit than be a Jayhawk. And ever since then, I'm like, all right, I'm in. That's all I needed to hear is that Coach Teal would rather spit than be a Jayhawk. But it's deep. It's awful.
If you think of John Anderson as Sugar, then you'd say everybody does that. But he would say, come on, I'm not going that far. But when you understand there's some salt there, it's like this might be the greatest salt in the history of humanity. How can I not be a part of it? That's my explanation for it. Whether or not he agrees, eh.
So the one shirt that I had before you were nice enough to send me this hoodie was Nike did a thing years ago, and I basically collected almost every school, and I would wear a different school every day. But it was their, it was kind of, it was the phrase that defined the school, right?
Don't say that, Shave. That's awful.
No, I'm not going to say the one from the other school, which apparently I'm not going to say which school it is. There's rocks and chalks and everything else involved there. Yeah. Every true son. What does that mean?
It's part of the fight song. Just every true son from Missouri. That's what we're saying. Every true son and daughter rally up for your team. So,
and don't utter the other teams.
These are the pictures that are in my favorites. Like that I need to have easily accessible. So that when something bad happens, like they lose to Bucknell, that I can go right after it and get after those people. So that we know that we can just, there you go, we're sad.
Jason, you should know that I also believe that right now, John Anderson believes that Craig Counsell should have gone to Kansas.
No. I just think he, again, and I've said this, Homer, I don't like, I get it. The guy's tired. He's been there 9 years, whatever, in a low-budget thing. He wanted to go spend money, even though the Cubs now say they're just about breaking even. So I don't blame him. He made the proper decision for him and his family. It just means I don't have to like it. So that last time I drove home to Green Bay, because he had done it, I refused to stay in South Bend, where usually I stop from Connecticut. And so I drove through to Michigan City and spent the night there because I was just pissed off at Council in South Bend.
And then you drove to Kansas and peed. You are really something. These are revelations that I did not expect. Homer, what's it been like working with John Anderson every week?
Terrible.
It's fantastic. I would have, if I'd known he was filling in, I would have refused to be on the show because the show is going to be better. I have nothing to add. I can't make the show better. I just make it worse. You and John Anderson, just take it away. But I didn't. I wasn't in.
Here's when Shaka beat him. There's when Shaka beat him. You got to have that one handy.
This poor youngster.
That's the SID's young kid. He's now in college. I feel bad for him because his dad's a friend of mine. But it's these people deserve what they get.
I definitely don't feel that way about Marquette. I was hoping. No. I love Shaka Smart. I was disappointed to see them lose their first round game. Homer, I know you like to think that we don't want to talk Marquette basketball on here, but I always do because you are the voice. 35 years of Marquette men's basketball. How did you view their exit? It was a bad weekend for Wisconsin basketball teams who had really good years, right? UWGB's women, Oshkosh's women, Stout's women, they both went to the Final Four. Obviously, the Badger men lost in the second round and Marquette lost in the first round. How did you view that exit and what's the vibe right now with Marquette basketball with so many great seniors departing?
I think it was disappointing but not surprising. Marquette had played at that level for a while, and the hope was that they could play a little better, and they got behind and then got ahead. But there was no one shocked. And, it was kind of a sad finish because they were so good early in the year. And to me, the NCAA tournament determines everything, and so the memory will be
And they beat Maryland at Maryland. They beat Purdue. It's what you do at the end. And sadly, they just didn't play enough. But it's not like you watched the game and said, they're way better than New Mexico. The kid, Donovan Dent, was the best player on the floor at the end of the game. And that's often how it works in the NCAA tournament. And too bad because Cam Jones had a great year. But, you know, my there's a sadness there. But from the standpoint of college basketball, the biggest sadness has to be that Wisconsin lost because Tanjay was as electric a player as anybody in the tournament, right up there with the kid from Duke, and he's gone. And he did everything, and they still lost. And he had one of the great games in the history of the NCAA tournament, and it means nothing because they lost. And I've said this before, it's the worst thing about sports I hate. I can't. You know, I mean, if Dwayne Wade had done what he did against Kentucky and they'd lost, nobody'd remember the triple-double. You got to win. And he had a chance. I mean, he scored like every basket in the end, and he didn't even just score a two-pointer, even if he didn't make a three. Then he got fouled. I mean, he scored like 3 points. I wanted to go back over and figure out, and it all doesn't matter. They lost. And at the end of the game, I would have preferred, if I had been the coach, during the timeout, I'd have said, all right, Tajay, just make a three. They can't stop you from scoring. Go for the three with about as early as you can so that if you miss it, which I don't think you will, we have a chance for the rebound, to go out and win the game. And he had an open three, didn't take it, and I don't know that it would have gone in, but it doesn't matter. He's just special. I don't care where he played. I don't know how anybody watching that game couldn't go, wow, and it's over. So,
Greg Gard did say after the game that that was a consideration, but he didn't want to tell Tanjay what to do on the play, right. Which yeah. I think is reasonable coaching, right? I mean, the guy got you to that point.
No, I disagree. That's not what I would do. He's a good coach. I'm telling you, go up, go get out there, make the three. Go out, shoot the three. Why would you go? We can win the game. You're going to win the game. Go win the game.
Okay.
If you get an open three, take it. Now, maybe he did say if you have an open three, take it. He didn't take it, but I'm not finding fault because there's no way to say one is better than the other. But the kid was making everything to win the damn game and to get a rebound shot. So
He was special, even though his time at Wisconsin was brief. On the flip side of it, Cam Jones was at Marquette for a long time. I watched his press conference, and that was hard to watch, the emotion that he showed. What will you take with you from all the great players that you have called their games? And we know what esteem you hold Dwayne Wade in. We know how you feel about Travis Diener. What will you take away from doing all of Cam Jones's games and seeing what he accomplished during his career at Marquette?
I mean, he's the second all-time leading scorer, an amazing scorer, but then when asked to, he became a good point guard. So, you know, what's the most memorable game? I don't know if there is one. None just really jumps out, but, you know, he's a second team All-American, All-Big East. I mean, he's clearly one of Marquette's great players. And the same thing. It's just sad that he didn't have the opportunity to go further.
Homer, when you look at the Big East, I'm curious about this, and John, you talk to him all the time, so I'll let you jump in here after this question. But I'm curious, so Sean Miller, who I have known since he was the restricted earnings coach for Stu Jackson when I was at Wisconsin, has now left Xavier, and he is now the new coach at Texas. And Richard Pitino, who was the coach of New Mexico that beat Marquette, is now going to Xavier to become Xavier's coach. How do you view the coaching carousel, and what does it say that Marquette has someone in Shaka Smart that hopefully will never leave?
No one knows anything about college basketball now. It's no one knows anything. I mean, coaches are just it's in a situation where nothing can be talked about as an indication of anything, because they're, it's just crazy times. No one understands what's going on. No one knows what's going to happen in the future. So you just kind of watch it and hope that they can resolve this. I think the judge has to decide in April, but nothing is an indication of anything because it's total chaos. So, and everybody wants things to change. And so when they change, then you'll be able to observe what's going on. Now is just passing time in total chaos until they can figure out a way to have some guidelines. I mean, the other thing is, this may take a while, I said it before, but John Tanje will go down as the greatest NIL ever in terms of his production versus what he cost. I mean, no one knows the numbers exactly now, but it was between New Mexico and Wisconsin. You know what a player is when the choice is New Mexico and Wisconsin? Not that good. Not only was he good, he was one of the elite players in the country, and that will be remembered, and that's probably a disappointment that's understandable for Wisconsin. They had an incredible opportunity because of the uniqueness of a player of that level available the way they got him. And it was
it's amazing how you skip over his 8 games at Missouri that he played, right? Because he left Colorado State. He was at Missouri for a year and hurt his foot and couldn't play. So how about a you're welcome to start?
We could have probably got a good coach, and if they knew he was going to be that good, they would have paid whatever they had to keep him.
Yeah, I'm sitting there, I'm like, how do you let that guy go out of the fold? What did you miss that you decided that was it? But you know that we shut him down in time and saved him his 6th year medical redshirt. God bless, because everybody should be in school 6 years now. That's the best way to go about things.
Salt went at 7. Why 6?
It's coming to that. They're going to go to 5 years eligibility, and then you'll have a red shirt that if you played 5 games, then you'll be able to play again. And we're going to have a bunch of 7-year seniors. They're talking about 5-year straight eligibility, and my guess is that will pass. I will be shocked if that does not pass.
You could be right now, but I just want to emphasize no one knows for sure of anything because this is total chaos, and you could be right, but no one knows. It's never been a part of anything in my life in sports like this.
Well, I think when you talk about the Marquette kid, one of the things there is that, like, you could tell the kid was invested in being a Marquette player. So many of these other guys, you're here for a year, you go to the next best deal, you do whatever, and it's hard sometimes to rally guys up and go, okay, let's go play for the W or go play for the Shield or go play for whatever it is when they're not. They're playing strictly for a dollar sign and they don't care about the front of the – you know, you'd say
that is an excellent point, and I should – no one has nor ever will show more loyalty and love for playing for Marquette than Cam Jones. In addition to what you say, he's from Memphis, right? Memphis loves basketball as much as any city in the country. I'm guessing Memphis would have paid I can't even think of the amount of money to have a local kid, Cam Jones, play at Memphis. I don't know this. I just know how he chose to stay at Marquette at a time when I think 99,000 kids, 999, would have, of Memphis, all would have gone to Memphis. And it would have been understandable if he did. Yes, no one has ever loved playing for Marquette or shown more loyalty, and I'm not sure they ever will have the ability, than Cam Jones is, and that probably should be at the top of the list.
Do you remember, Homer, we never talked about this. Do you remember the game the Marquette played in, was it 94-ish? It was Wade's team. The beat Missouri in the round of 32 where it went to overtime and they didn't miss a shot.
2003,
not a two,
yes.
Not
Steve,
a three,
Steve
not
Novak.
A free throw.
Yes, yeah. Steve Novak
every
did like
time.
5 threes. Yes. Who was your and coach, Quinn Snyder?
Quinn Snyder. And so having gotten to, you know, Wade came up and we did a commercial with him one time and then a couple times NBA Finals, he joined us. And I kind of reminded him of that the first time, just to kind of break the ice. And most every time he sees me now, he'll just go, you know, we still haven't missed. And I'm like, dude, it's 30 years from now, okay? I get it. You still haven't missed, and you've won titles. I'm not sure why you need to obsess about this. But, yeah, still one of the more painful things. We had a really good group, and they didn't miss any shots. Not just saying that figuratively. They missed no shots in overtime. Scored like 21 points. It was gross. It was absolutely gross.
Your memory is good. Nicely done.
See, you think I just take Kansas. I got a lot of scars. That's why I tried to, Jason, I tried to tell him, don't take Missouri in the tournament. This is a bad idea. Our history is poor. I love my team, but the results, you should be able to look at the results again and again and go, this seems like this is not something I would do. It doesn't seem like a smart play. You know, it's kind of like when your team is bad in the last 10 games and they go into the tournament, you think, well, they'll turn it around this week. That just doesn't happen. Right. Nobody finds something magical after the last 3 weeks where they've been bad, but they find it in the shoot around open to the public for that 1 hour at the tournament. It just doesn't work that way.
Didn't Wisconsin
Please understand that as much as he tries to, Marquette could have made 1,000 baskets in a row. The last one blindfolded, and he still would not be as upset with Marquette as he is every second he breathes at Kansas.
I'm happy with Kansas. They lost in the first round. They were terrible in this. It's all good. That part makes me happy.
All right.
Homer, I will talk to you later today without John Anderson or Brian Bulaga. It's our Wednesday that we get to spend together. Thank you.
My pleasure.
That is Steve the Homer True. And
I can't believe you didn't know that I was not a fan of the university.
I knew the rivalry. I knew that you weren't a fan. The depth to which it goes, that I was not aware of. That was
respectable.
I hope that Leopold. I hope Lance loses every game for the next 11 years, and then they keep him so they can go into a slump.
Or maybe he wins and then he goes to Missouri. All right.
Scares me to death. I wish he had left. I told him that. I'm like, dude, I so wish you to take him one of these jobs because I think he's really, really good. And we're going to play him again for the first time in ever this fall. And I think he's a better coach than so many guys. I'm like, I just fear that this guy is going to beat us because he's really that good. And it makes me sick.
We continue our tradition of going way over in every hour.
Love it.
Still another segment left in the 10 o'clock hour with John Anderson as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Brewers.
They're really good at identifying talent. They're really good at developing talent.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
This is one of the best organizations in Major League Baseball.
100.5 ESPN.
With John Anderson, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Thanks to Homer. We always love it when we get to talk to him. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour. I am going to abbreviate this final segment since it's 11:08. What, Jesse?
Did John do Kansas highlights when he was at SportsCenter?
Ooh, good question.
Did you ask for the Kansas highlights?
He pawned him off on Levy.
How does that work?
So I never asked nor declined, but it is because I went to school there and people know that it doesn't matter. I'd get mail or emails or voicemails from people that no matter what I said that just ripped me. And you could literally. And so I knew Bill Self when he was an assistant at talking about Miller and Stu Jackson. So Bill was an assistant at Oklahoma State, his alma mater, when I first got there with Leonard Hamilton. And then he was at Tulsa. And so I've known Bill forever. And so literally you'd go, oh, Bill Self, gosh, that guy can coach. They won by 30. It's easy. They roll into the second round. And people are like, I can't believe how you dissed Kansas. So, you know, some of that you were just in for. No matter what you said, they just were like, you were. So you could have been as flattering as could be. And then they're like, listen to that condescending SOB talking about how good we are when you know he doesn't mean it, you know. So – And the worst I ever got was Paul Pierce missed a free throw, and I said, you can take the boy out of Kansas, but you can't take Kansas out of the boy. And people got really mad. But they thought because boy was condescending, and they didn't get that was part of a phrase. And so the few people that wrote that, I – tried to explain that I really dislike Kansas, but I understand that that perhaps seemed you know. And by the way, I worked with Paul, and I told him that, and he just chuckled. You know, like he didn't care. He was a superstar, man. He's like, I got millions. What is, who, like, if that's the worst thing that's ever been said about me, forget it. So it wasn't as terrible. But, you know, I didn't shy away from it when it happened. But
and
I,
you certainly you know, didn't like, shy away from it today.
But think about it. That's the one thing about sports is in the end, no matter what, you can have a bias or not. I can't change the final score.
Right.
And, you know, they beat us in basketball for 100 years. Like, okay, so there you go. I may dislike you with the fire of 10,000 suns, which is a few suns short, but it still doesn't change that you beat us 75-70 or whatever the score is, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, you know, that part you can't affect the outcome.
Sugary and salty all at once. It is our friend John Anderson, our cousin sub of the day. I want to remind you, I've been telling you about this all week, and I'm going to continue telling you about it because it's a great thing that we're doing with Verizon. Verizon is giving you the chance to win the ultimate draft experience with the Road to the Draft sweepstakes. 10 lucky winners will win tickets to the first day of the 2025 NFL Draft in Green Bay, including round-trip car service from Milwaukee, hotel accommodations, plus access to the Verizon viewing zone where you'll be taken care of like a first-round pick. Don't miss your chance to win the ultimate draft experience powered by Verizon. All you got to do is get into one of the select Wisconsin Verizon locations to enter. You got to do it by April 13th. So make sure you do that. If you want more information, you want to follow the official rules and the full details, go to ESPNWisconsinContests.com. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts at 11:13 in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.